There was a man who was getting ready to go to bed, and as he and his wife were heading up there, his wife noticed out of the bedroom window that there was a light on in the garden shed, and she said to him, you left the light on. And when he began to investigate, he found that there were some guys there in hoodies, and they were taking his garden equipment out of the shed. So he phoned the police, dialed 911, and he said, there are people, and they're stealing from me. They're at my shed, and can you send a squad car? And they said they were sorry, but there was no one available in his area. He said, okay, and he hung up. He counted to 30, and he dialed 911 again. This time he said, hello, I phoned you a few minutes ago to tell you that there were thieves stealing things out of my shed. You don't have to bother coming now. I just shot them all. Within 5 minutes, there was a half dozen police cruisers in his driveway and an armed response team. Of course, they caught the burglars red-handed. One of the police officers said to the man, I thought you said you shot them. And he replied, I thought you said there was no one available. You see, it was all a matter of priority. Stealing some tools out of a shed, that was no big deal. Shooting the thieves, wow, that was a response, okay? You see, every one of us has more to do in a day than we have time. Is there anybody here that has lots of time and nothing to do? Raise your hand, because I'm going to find something for you. All right? Yeah, there's really not much. Most of us have so much to do in a day, it's that we always have to choose what's not going to get done. All right? We act on things differently. It's amazing how the urgent always gets the priority. And it may not have been the urgent when we started our day, but something happened. You know, like, I had no intention of driving to Lehigh Valley Hospital on Monday night. But when there was an emergency, somehow we find time for those things, right? Even though we may have no time, we find time. And that's what the police officers did. Nobody available, no time to come. But when the situation seemingly escalated, there was time. Well, we certainly are busy putting oil on the squeaky wheels, right? Someone has said you can tell a person's priorities by looking at their checkbook. Now, that may be true, but I think a greater indicator of our priorities might be our calendars, a record of how we spend time. Let's face it. We're faced with choices. We don't have time to do everything. As your pastor, I know it appears that I work a couple hours on a Sunday morning. But, you know, every day I have to make a decision what I have time for and what I don't have time for. And if you're anything like me, the things I don't have time for are the things that eat me up, okay? They cause anxiety, cause stress, right? We're in a mini-series entitled Order Up. Last week, we looked at the priority of seeking God's kingdom and His righteousness. That sermon is available on our website. The focus of that sermon was that verse, Matthew 6:33. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You see, seeking His kingdom and seeking His righteousness, we said last week, was effectively accomplished by spending time with God in worship, in the Word, and in prayer. Seeking God, seeking His rule and reign, not only in all things, but in our hearts and in our lives. We also acknowledged that there's other things that are important, right? We said family's important, Relationships are important. Work is important. We said activities are important. And we use an analogy. I showed you a video, an analogy of taking a jar and putting those major important things represented with stones or rocks put in a jar. And we said there's room for like all seven of those things. The word and worship and prayer and work and family and friends and activities. There's room for all of them. But we need to put those things in first. Because once we fill the jar with gravel and sand and water, there's no way for us to stomp those other seven important things back in the jar. Doesn't work that way. And I think we all have enough of an understanding of what that illustration says and does that we understand how we must choose the first things first. Jesus said, the first priority in all things is His kingdom and His righteousness. And as we seek His kingdom and His righteousness through worship, word, and prayer, that's what it's all about. That's how we choose the right things first. Well, Jesus had a couple of friends, and they had trouble choosing the right priorities. Now, I have a confession. I did not change the sermon slide on here, and we're just going to skip through it. But on here are your page numbers or your scripture text. So turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke 10, we're going to be looking at verses 38 to 42. And the page number, if you're using a pew Bible, if it's black, it's 1087. If it's brown, it's 1613. All right? Give you a second to turn there, and then I'm going to read. Luke writes, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her.'" So our text begins by letting us know where Jesus is. And he and his disciples are in the town of Bethany. Now, Bethany was a village that was about 2 miles east of Jerusalem. In those days, there was no Motel 6, there was no Holiday Inn or anything like that. And so as people were traveling, particularly Jews were traveling in and out of Jerusalem for the feasts and festivals that were required, many of them would travel through Bethany, and people practiced hospitality. They would open up their homes and allow people to stay there. And Jesus and his disciples had been in Bethany before, and they knew Mary, Martha, and they had a brother. What was the brother's name? Lazarus. Okay. Well, Bethany was the place where Jesus was baptized. It was also the place where God spoke from heaven in an audible voice and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Bethany was the place where Jesus would begin his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the day that we know as Palm Sunday. And it is also the place where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. So a lot of things in Jesus' earthly ministry occurred in Bethany. And so he was familiar with Mary and Martha and their brother. And they stopped there, and they were being entertained in that home. The two sisters responded in that meeting, in that gathering, in two different ways. And we're going to look at that today. You see, when bringing order to our lives, we must focus on the most important things first. Reminder of what we learned last week, okay? So, truth number one in our text says, When establishing order to our lives, we must be cautious about distractions. Well, I was my own illustration at 8 o'clock. I was distracted by many things, mostly this thing, okay? But there was other things going on in the service at the time that were also very distracting to me. I could not keep focus from some of the things that were going on. I also had another, what I will call it a distraction, but he is no distraction, because I wasn't sure what I was going to be doing in my sermon next week. And as God sometimes does through his Spirit, he was telling me things while I'm trying to preach, all right? And as a result, the first thing I did when everybody was gone, I sent myself notes, because I already know exactly what I'm doing next week. And that's always a good thing for a preacher, right? But anyway, a lot of things going on. But it's very hard to choose, and distractions are there. The scripture says Martha is the one who opened his home to Jesus. That would tell us that maybe she was the older daughter. She was certainly the person of influence in the home. She is the one who was busy serving and making preparations to entertain her guests. Now, that makes sense, right? If you invite people into your home, there's things you're going to do, okay? You might clean the house. You might prepare food. You'll do lots of things, right? Martha was busy, and that makes sense. But her sister was spending all of her time sitting at the feet of Jesus in spite of all the work that had to be done. Now, Martha, as a result, was stressed out. Now, to be honest, she didn't lose her cool. After all, Jesus was there. She had to keep herself composed a little bit, right? But she was upset because she was doing all the work. And so, as she raced around the house and labored, her sister reclined and listened. Martha was crazy with concern. Mary was calm and carefree. Martha was angry and agitated. Mary, she was composed and content. Martha went to Jesus and she said, "Lord," in verse 40, "don't you care that my sister has left me to do all of the work? Tell her to help me." You know, she was doing what most of us would do. Find somebody to empathize with us, to take our side. And when we go and we say, "It isn't fair. I'm being taken advantage of here." We want somebody to say, "Oh, you're right. That isn't fair." You know, that kind of thing. Do situations like that ever occur in your home? You know, Jeanette and I raised 5 kids. They all had chores. Some would say they did more work than everybody else. If you would ask them, two of my daughters are here, if you would ask them who did the most work, they would all say it was them. Right, girls? Yeah, they would say that because they think so. They were like Mary and Martha. It's not fair, right? More like Cinderella. But we do become frustrated. I mean, you know, even today, you know, like we're doing a lot of things, you know, and somebody's not helping, and boy, you know, it kind of gets to you, right? You think it's not fair. And so Martha immediately went to Jesus, and she said, "You know, Jesus, don't you care about this? I don't think this is fair." One of the things that we need to understand is sometimes when we're in those situations, the problem is that we have misplaced priorities. Maybe you have some priorities that are not quite where they should be. Let me ask you some questions or give you some parts of an illustration here. Perhaps your priority in life is being busy and serving in many ways. If your life is characterized by rushing here and rushing there, always hurrying around, maybe you don't even have time to sit down and eat a meal, maybe you grab and go when it comes to food, right? Maybe your world is characterized by disorder. Maybe you have piles of things, a pile here, a pile there, that someday you're going to get to. Sometimes it happens to me. If my life really gets crazy, my desk gets piles on it. And sometimes I sit down there and I'm ready to work and I think I can't do anything until I clear my desk because it drives me nuts, okay? But that's what happens sometimes if our priorities are mixed up. If you characterize yourself, if you evaluate your quality by your accomplishments or your achievements, you might have a little bit of issue with misplaced priorities. Maybe you have the idea that the more I serve, the more I serve, the more titles I can hold, the more things I do, the better of a Christian I am. Right? Sometimes people are like that. Somebody's blowing up my phone here. Better turn that over here. Another symptom of misplaced priorities is being stressed out, being uptight, being untouchable. Sometimes misplaced priorities cause physical problems, migraine headaches, chest pain, those kinds of things. Another symptom of misplaced priorities could be nagging guilt, feelings of being unaccomplished, feelings of being able, not being able to deal with things and knowing things aren't going well. Maybe you know that you're not doing the things of worship and word and prayer, and it kind of nags at you, knowing that you should be doing these things, and yet you're not doing these things because you're all concerned about something else, right? That would be a characteristic, probably we could characterize that person as Martha, okay? Maybe you're like Martha. Maybe you're one of those people that will say, well, I just have too much now. I don't have time for regular worship. I don't have time to study the Word. I don't have time to spend with God in prayer. But someday after this, this, and this, someday after I'm done raising my kids, I'll have time. Someday after this task is done, I'll have time. When I earn this degree, I'll have time. When I'm retired, I'll have time. You know what the answer is? Make time in the here and now, right? Make time in the here and now. Because if you don't learn to make time in the here and now, you won't have any more time when you're retired. You won't have any more time when you're done raising your kids or any of those kinds of things. Like there is such a thing as ever being done raising kids. But anyway, okay, it is what it is, all right? We need to be cautious about distractions. Busyness and service are not a substitute for spiritual disciplines of worship, word, and prayer. Get that. Might even see it on Facebook this week. We need to be cautious about distractions. Busyness and service are no substitute for the spiritual disciplines of worship, word, and prayer. When establishing your order in your life, you must be cautious about distractions and choose the better thing. And that brings us to our second truth, which says, when establishing order to our lives, we must be focused on the spiritual. Mary was focused on the spiritual. Verse 39 says, she was sitting at the feet of Jesus. She was listening. She was learning. Now, there may be some significance to that. In Acts 22, it is said that the Apostle Paul studied at the feet of Gamaliel. All right? He was being discipled by or being taught by Gamaliel. And the idea of Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus was that she was there listening. She was learning. She was learning what it was to be a follower of Christ. Another significant thing about that is this was not going to be the first time that Mary was at the feet of Jesus. She was there in this account learning and trying to be a good follower. But there's another time where she was an excellent worshiper, and that is found in John 12. It says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in his honor. And guess who was the head chef there? Martha. She served, and Lazarus was among those who were reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. There she worshiped. Her priorities were pretty interesting, weren't they? Her priority was to spend time gaining an understanding of who he was, as we would in word. Her priority was worship, even taking this expensive perfume and washing his feet with that perfume and her hair as an act of worship and love and adoration, right? So that's who Mary was. Now, some of you might think, well, come on, Pastor. You know, this was just how they're wired. We understand the idea of our love languages, right? So we might say, well, you know, it's very clear. Martha's love language was acts of service. And she expressed her love to Jesus by being busy and taking care of those needs. You know, probably cooked the best meal and made a really scrumptious dessert and, you know, did all those kinds of things to entertain Jesus. And Mary, on the other hand, it's likely that maybe her love language would have been quality time, right? And she just wanted to spend time with Jesus. And that's how she showed her love. So we might say, well, you know, that's their love language. That's how they're wired. That's probably not even far-fetched. But you see, the priority, whether it's service or whether it's quality time, needs to be spiritual, right? It still needs to be spiritual. You know, when we serve the Lord, we're to serve the Lord through the leading and the empowerment of God's Holy Spirit. If we're doing something and we're doing it in our own flesh for our own edification and not for the glory of God, it's unspiritual. You see, genuine service requires the leading and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Remember last week when we said that worship, word, and prayer are our main priorities? We also said everything we do comes from what is in our hearts, right? We're to guard our hearts because everything we do comes out of our hearts. You see, one of the priorities needs to be the spiritual. That's why we gather with other believers. We come here to refuel, okay? You drive a car. You drive enough miles, you need to put more gas in it, right? Coming to church is a place where we gather together and we refuel through worship, through word, and prayer. Daily, you can refuel by spending time in worship, in word, and in prayer. If we don't refuel, we run on fumes. And on fumes, the things that we do is unspiritual. We need to have the power, the empowerment of, the presence of the Holy Spirit in all that we do. In Colossians 3, it says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him." Let me give you a little bit of an analogy. I think what I'm trying to explain to you is the difference between doing and being. Maybe you've heard those terms in this analogy before. Doing is always connected with accomplishments. Being is much deeper. Being relates to who we are inside, our character. Doing is closely tied with activity and accomplishment and tangible things, our involvements, our roles, accomplishments, the things that might be our trophies, right? But being, on the other hand, has more to do with the intangibles. It is who we are on the inside. It is the part of us that is focused on the eternal. It has been said that being will outdistance doing every time. Being is far more valuable because it is lasting and it is spiritual. Being is developed at the feet of Jesus. The result of being is becoming like Jesus. Being is accomplished through the power of the Holy Spirit. So what should be our goal? Doing or being? My friends, being is the better choice. As Jesus said to Martha, your sister Mary has chosen the better thing. Mary's priority was spiritual. And that aligns with what we learned last week. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be given to you as well. As disciples of Jesus, we need to make choices in regard to time and our priorities. When establishing order in our lives, we need to be aware of distractions. You know, not everything is a distraction that we could say is bad, okay? It's not bad. But the better thing, it wasn't bad that Martha served, but the better thing was what? Spending time with Jesus. The first priority, worship, word, and prayer. And everything else we stress out about will be taken care of as well. When establishing order to our lives, we need to focus on the spiritual. You know, the first focus is this. If you have not trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, that needs to be the first priority. The first priority is to know Him. The first priority is to have His forgiveness and to know that you have eternal life. You see, you can do all kinds of things in the flesh. When we trust Christ as our Savior, His Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. And then it is His Spirit that empowers us and enables us to do the things that He wants us to do for His glory. We must then allow the Holy Spirit to have control and give Him first priority in our lives. As individuals, we all have work to do. We all have homes to maintain. We have families to care for. We have work responsibilities. And many of you are involved in the work and ministry of a church and other activities that are also very important. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But if anything prevents us from spending time at the feet of Jesus, we have a problem. So let me ask this question. Does your day-to-day routine most resemble Martha's or Mary's priorities? That's a tough question, but it's an important one. What does your life look like? You know, and I got to tell you, this is a struggle for everybody, including your pastor. You know, the phone rings and the best laid plans go out the window, all right? That's how it is. We all have the same kind of life. Busy, running at warp speed. Y'all think I work a few hours on a Sunday morning, right? Most of you know better. But anyway, just think about this. You know, we all have the same struggle. We have the desire to be more like Mary. But we get sucked in to the squeaking wheel. We get sucked in to the many, many, many things that have to be done up here. And we fail to choose the better thing. And my challenge to you is, when you're ordering your priorities, worship, word, and prayer are big things. You need to put them in first and trust that you're still going to have time for everything else. And I need to tell you that without it, you're in trouble. Because when major distractions come, when something happens in the unforeseen, it will be the time you spent in worship, word, and prayer that will sustain you and get you through. It's important. It's an important part of our day-to-day life. So who are you most like? Martha or Mary? And then, how should your day-to-day routine change? Maybe some of you are really good at being like Mary. Maybe some of you struggle. How would that change? You know, I'm going to tell you something. If you've mastered being a Mary and you can keep all those stones in, you know what you ought to do with that? Take somebody alongside of you and teach them how to do it. That's what you ought to do with it. All right? Let the more mature help those who are trying to become mature. That would be good. But if you're struggling, the only choice you have is to realign your priorities, to put order back in your life, and to say, Lord, no matter what, you know, unless the house is on fire or something like crazy going on, I'm going to make this time a priority. It's a choice. It's a choice. And we can all make that choice. And I trust that you will. Just to give you a little glimpse of what Jesus was whispering in my ear while I was trying to preach at 8 o'clock is this. We're going to talk about priorities from his perspective. We'll be transitioning into Holy Week. And we're going to look at what his priorities are. If you knew you had a week to live, what would your priority be for the week? Okay? That's what next week is going to be all about. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful for your Spirit and for your word. Lord, we're nothing without you. We're absolutely nothing without the power of your Holy Spirit. And we do ask, Lord, that you would lead and guide in our lives. Perhaps we need to make those commitments. Maybe our commitment should be, you know, I really got this down good. I'm going to help somebody else to order their lives. Maybe your commitment needs to be, you know, there's lots of things I let in get in the way of worship, word, and prayer. And I'm going to put my best foot forward from this day, and I'm going to try my very best to put those first. Lord, whatever needs to be done by your Spirit, we entrust it to you. And I ask, Lord, that you would continue to tug at hearts and lead and guide by your Spirit. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.